Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello and welcome once again to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, local minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. This programme is a really special one because it is our 100th Holy Half Hour programme. Wow, isn't that amazing? 100 programmes in just over 2 years. And I had never done this sort of thing before. I wasn't sure if I could fill one half hour and make even one programme. Thank God for inspiration. It is more of a miracle than you will ever realise. Thanks also to 3TFM for giving me this opportunity. It has truly been a privilege and a pleasure. It's amazing where life can take you if you grab unexpected opportunities. I'd also like to thank in particular Lewis Ferguson, the station manager, for inviting me to do this, and also for being here every programme doing the recording. We are very much a double act, but you always hear me and you never hear Lewis. I write the scripts and do the speaking, but Lewis does all the technical stuff. Lewis is sitting here with me right now in his usual role. I was thinking, Lewis, since this is the 100th programme and we want to make it very special for our listener, how about you joining me up front for this special edition? And we could reminisce a wee bit about our 99 programmes together. So what are you thinking about this 100th landmark?
I think it's a terrific achievement, Alec. I don't know of any other community station who has attained that. And as you say, it's a lot of programmes in the space of 2 years. And I do recall when I approached you to get involved with 3TFM, you saying about the material and whatnot, and there you go, it's transpired 100 programmes. That's a lot of material, a lot of ideas.
And it seems to have gone by very quickly, has it not?
Time flies when you enjoy yourself.
We've had lots of firsts, you know, the first ever programme, the first live interview, the first outside broadcast, the first live music in the studio, and today then is the first co-presented show. Also another first in that our holy half hour is this time going to be a holy hour, if that's not a contradiction. So it's a buy one holy half hour, get one free, as they say. Could also just say a special thanks to our one or two fans. Apparently there are folk that listen to this programme, you know, Lewis.
Really?
It's on the internet, and you were telling me that 3TFM goes round the world now on the internet. And
it certainly does, because we broadcast on the internet service, and we've been very fortunate. There's a lot of expats in the three towns, and we get a lot of listeners in Canada, Australia, a few in Spain, a few in America as well, and we've had a few in Korea.
Korea?
Korea, yes, we've had a few over there as well.
How do they cope with an Ayrshire accent?
Very well, actually, to be honest with you, going by the feedback that we get, which we all accumulate and log for evaluation purposes here.
I'd also like to say a special hello to our Fraserburgh fan club. That's Fraserburgh in Aberdeenshire. That's largely due to my mum. She's been flogging her son's programme to all her friends up there.
That's what mums are for.
Yeah. Also, we record the programme, and copies of the recording have circulated around the world. And one that comes to mind is there are folk in Grand Canaria who use the CD of the 3TFM programme as English classes, teaching folk English.
Seriously, that's excellent.
They listen to the programme for the English of it, and then they discuss what the minister said. So you just never know how far the ripples go out when you drop your pebbles in the pool. So anyway, let's get down to business. I thought tonight, Lewis, you and I could do the Muppet act, you know, the two old codgers. So let me ask you, what was for you the hardest programme to make technically?
Hardest programme, Alec, actually proved to be one of the most enjoyable, I think, and it was about, of all things, relaxation. 30 tips on relaxation. I've worked on various radio stations over the years, and I've never been asked to do this task. And it was constant segued songs while you spoke and the various different tips and things like that on the relaxation series of programmes. And it blended in extremely, extremely well, I thought. It was a delight to work that one.
The psychology behind this was, I always like to be at the frontier of broadcasting, trying a new trick that hasn't been done before. So to put in 30 tips on relaxation in 30 minutes is a pressured situation. And there's no point in talking about relaxation if you can't prove you can do it. So it was to prove how you could be as calm as a swan on the surface, even when you're going like the clappers underneath. Mm. So we'll play a wee extract and remind ourselves of that programme. So this is a programme for all you worriers, and for all you non-worriers married to them. Well, in any house there seems to be a quota of worry, and the more one worries, the less the other seem to worry, and vice versa. Anyway, tonight's half-hour programme is 30 tips on relaxation in 30 minutes. So we'd better get a move on, I suppose, but hey, relax, relax, don't worry, we'll get there. So here's the challenge, 30 tips starting now. How about then, tip number one, why don't you just sit down and relax to some nice music? So while you're listening to the relaxing music, you could do some relaxing exercises. Autogenics is the fancy word for it. But just sit there and clench your fist and then relax your fist and your other fist and relax. You can clench your feet, your calf muscles, your thigh muscles, your hips, and work your way around the body bit by bit, tensing and relaxing all the muscles till you're quite relaxed. There in the bath, just relaxing, or having a massage, or aromatherapy, or without even those things, just close your eyes and transport yourself to a Caribbean island, to the beach, with a slight change in our mood music. We can be suddenly anywhere your imagination carries you. Thank you.
3TFM, we like to discover local talents. We are a local radio station, and I do recall as one of the series of your programmes highlighting a local singer-songwriter by the name of Roger Patterson from Saltcoats.
And Roger is very local, he's just down the hill. He's actually the current Minister of Music at Adelaide Bible College in Saltcoats. Roger has an honours degree in music, and he's a lovely singer, as you can hear here, as he sings He'll Be There.
Sometimes you fly so high that your feet don't touch the ground, and you feel like you'll never come down. Most days it's just the same, there's laughter mixed with pain. Keep telling yourself it'll be all right. And he'll be there, holding your hand in the darkness. He'll be there, taking away your fear, just like he said he would. Some days I like to dream, when things are not the way they seem, about a better time that's not that far away. Sometimes I like to cry, though I don't have a reason why, except the love he's put inside of me. And he's there, holding my hand in the darkness. He is there, taking away my fear, just like he said he would. But I can't promise you an easy ride. I only know that he'll never let you. And he'll be there, there won't be any darkness. He is there, taking away all fear, just like he said he would, just like he said he would, just like he said.
So, Lewis, over all the 100 programmes, what would you say was your favourite programme of all?
I think, Alec, my favourite was when you had a guest in the studio by the name of Jamie Stewart. I thought the man was an absolute star, an absolute gentleman, total character written all over him, happy, content, intelligent man, and happy with his life and the work that he's done in his life. I thought he was great.
I think I would say the same if you asked me as well. Jamie and I are now friends because I'm the minister who's booked him most often to the church.
Oh, very good.
At 89, Jamie launched his brand new DVD, The Glasgow Gospel. 70,000 copies of his extracts of his DVD were given away in the Glasgow Herald last year. Jamie's 90, well, he will be 90 very soon, and on his 90th birthday, he's going to be launching his new book. That's the sort of guy Jamie is. I was joking with him, what's he going to do for his 100th birthday? His CV includes doing national service, a Hoover salesman, an athlete running for Scotland, a church elder, an actor, an author, a DVD maker, and it goes on and on. So here's a wee extract. Here's Jamie telling us all about the prodigal son. I think that's the best thing he does in his Glasgow Bible.
And I think we'll follow that, Alec, with a song about the prodigal son, sung by Don Francisco, who's been the most played artist over the various different programmes that you've hosted. 100 and odd. This is, we'll play Don Francisco with I Don't Care Where You've Been Sleeping.
Jesus said, there was once a man that had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Hey, father, can I ask you a favour? Why no gie me the share of the family gear right now to save me waiting till you're dead? The father was hurt but agreed and split his property between the two sons. A wee while after, the younger son picked up all his gear and left home for the bright lights in the big city. It wasn't long afore he wasted his whole fortune on the bevy and the parties and living it up. Just when he was hitting rock bottom, a terrible famine swept out of the country. He needed work right bad, but all that he could get was a job with a farmer feeding the pigs. He was so famished that he could have fair eaten the beans he was feeding the pigs. Nobody took pity on him. Finally, he gets wise and says to himself, Ach, I'm off my head so I'm. At home, even my father's servants are well looked after, and here's me starving. I'll just need to bottle my pride and go home. I'll confess to my father that I've done wrong and ask him to sign me up along with his servants. So he gets up and starts out for home. He's still a long way from his house when his father catches sight of him and runs out to meet him. He throws his arms around his son and kisses him. The boy was greeting.
I'm sorry, father, so am. I'm just a loser and I'm no fit to be called your son.
But his father shouted to the servants, Fetch out some nice clean clothes for my boy and a ring for his finger, aye, and I want you to kill the prize calf. We're going to have ourselves a real celebration this very night.
Now, the big brother was coming in for the fields, and when he came near the house, he heard all the music and the jigging. He called to one of the servants and asked what was up.
Ah, your wee brother's come back home, sir, he was told. Aye, we're celebrating like. Your father has even killed the prize cow for the feast.
The big brother was bailing and wouldn't go into the house. So the father comes out to reason with him. He answers his father,
Oh, hold on and listen to me. I've slaved for you all these years and you didn't even once get a party for me. And now that wee yaff comes back, been on the run, Dan, so he has, spent all your money on booze and hooers, and you kill your best coo for him.
The father was hurt at all this. My son, he says to him, you've aye been here with me. You must ken that all that's mine is yours. But, you see, it was right to celebrate. I thought my son was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, and now he's come home.
Loved you long before the time your eyes first saw the day, and everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, then at last you took your leave, and traded off a kingdom for the lies that you've believed. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie. I'd take you back this instant if you turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me. And when you've come back to your senses and you see who's been to blame, remember all the good things that were yours with just my name. And then don't waste another thought before you change the way you're bound. I'll be running out to meet you if you'll only turn around. Just turn around. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again to me. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again.
So do you quite like Don Francisco, Lewis?
I think he's a very talented man, and I have to confess I had never heard of him until I started working along with your programme. And it's amazing the amount of recordings he's done and how he goes about doing these songs.
Well, apparently sales of his records have gone up in Fraserburgh at least. So we celebrated special moments in the Christian year. You know, Easter, Harvest, Remembrance, Pentecost, and of course Christmas, otherwise known by its official title, the Incarnation. Here's me explaining about the Incarnation. So what was God up to? Why did he come to Earth? Why did God become a human being? As briefly as I can, let me explain. Human beings have always wronged God. There's always a huge rift between us sinners and he, the perfect Holy One. God decided to heal the rift. Well, we could never reach up to him, but he could reach down to us. It's always the bigger one who has to make the first move. Lost sheep cannot find shepherd, but the good shepherd can find his lost sheep. He had to be the God-man, the mediator, because only a human being, in other words, one of the wrongdoers, could say sorry. And he had to be God, because only the wronged party can be the one to forgive. Only wrongdoers can be sorry, and only the sinned against can forgive. A third party can't do these things. So God came as Jesus to reveal himself to us and to introduce himself. God came as Jesus to show up our sinfulness and to show us how much we hurt and crucify him daily. God came as Jesus to carry out his justice and punish sin and then give us a fresh new start. All relationships benefit from honest naming and shaming, exposing faults and dealing with them, clearing the air, forgiving and forgetting, and having fresh starts. The only problem was no human being could survive God's justice and punishment. So God came as Jesus, as a man, as a human being, as one of us, as our representative, as our head. On our behalf, he died our death. He took our punishment for all our wrongdoing. He died for the sins of you, me, and the whole world. God's justice was satisfied, the bill was paid, the air cleared, and the relationship restored. He took it all, and he bounced back again alive. A new day dawned for the whole human race, like the dawn of creation, a new beginning, a second chance for us all. Yes, it is a mystery. It might take forever to understand. But thank God we don't have to understand it all to experience it and benefit from it.
We mentioned Don Francisco just not so long ago, Alec, and we played quite a lot of him, but one of the most used songs on the programmes that you've hosted over the years is from Michael Card, Jesus Loves Me. Why is that the case?
Well, Jesus Loves Me means a lot to myself. When I was 9, I was singing it in church and then I stopped singing it. I could believe Jesus loves. I could believe Jesus loves the world. I couldn't believe and feel that Jesus loved me. And I didn't sing it for 3 years till my wee sister said something. Can't remember what she said, but after that, I could sing it with conviction, Jesus Loves Me. And if you think about it, that is the whole core and heart of Christian theology. There's a great writer, Carol Barth, who wrote vast volumes, and he was a speaker and teacher and preacher and professor all his life, and he was asked to sum up everything he'd ever said. And he paused for a split second, and then he burst into singing, Jesus Loves Me. You can forget everything else, but if I could have conveyed over 100 programmes one message, it's this: Jesus loves me and you.
Jesus loves me, I know it's true, because he died for me, and he died for you. When I think of all the pain he went through, I want the world to know, and I want to shout the news. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's not just the Bible tells me so. I can feel it in my soul. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, how can it be that the only Son of God should care for me, to take away my sin and set me free, to take my life and make it all it's meant to be. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's not just the Bible.
Michael Card, a great song, I love that one. Jesus loves me. Now, Alec, I must admit, your other half, your good lady Patricia, has guested in the programme on 2 or 3 occasions, and she's sung in the programme, and a series of the programme were to do with worship sketches. And I must admit, I thought the two of you worked well with one another in that. How did that idea come about?
Well, it's just in church. We thought it would jazz up a service occasionally if we did a double act, and the congregation seemed to be quite responsive to it. So the congregation's encouragement has led us astray. Well, here's a sketch. It was a romantic one. How can I say I love you? I've been trying all week to tell my wife that I love her, but without any success.
I've been trying all week to tell my husband that I love him, but without any success.
I thought I'd buy her some flowers, but the local post office doesn't sell flowers.
I thought I'd buy him a nice card, but none of the cards quite said what I wanted to say.
I wondered about buying her some chocolates, but that would just be temptation when she's dieting.
I wondered about buying him a lovely tie, but that's no use to a man who wears his shirts backwards.
I had the bright idea of telephoning our own house, but every time I rang, it was engaged.
I had the bright idea of sending a fax, but then I remembered we don't have one.
I wanted to sing a romantic love song, but I can't sing.
I wanted to draw a picture showing my love, but I can't draw.
I thought about waving flags, but we don't have any flags.
I thought about sending smoke signals like Red Indians, but we don't have a coal fire.
I even considered beating African jungle drums, but then I thought that the neighbours would object.
I considered ringing the church bells, but then that would have brought everybody to church on Tuesday.
I tried Morse code, but the only letters I can spell are SOS.
I tried using a carrier pigeon, but that's one do that didn't work.
So how can I tell my wife that I love her?
So how can I tell my husband that I love him?
I love you, Patricia. I also want to tell people that Jesus loves them. How can I possibly do that?
When God tried to tell us that he loves us, he wrote the Bible. He sent prophets and priests and preachers and parents. But more than words, he came himself as Jesus and showed by his living, suffering, dying and rising again for us, his love for us.
So, spread the good news and do it in word and in action. We also tried on these programmes to discover so far undiscovered local singer-songwriters. People like Emily Patterson, for example, a young Saltcoats woman who has written over 600 hymns, and so far she hasn't been discovered.
We also had Patricia, your lovely lady, your wife, and she's sung a few times live in the studio, various different songs. In fact, we've got that lined up next, Alec. This is her singing live in the studio, her own composition called The Good Samaritan.
He was travelling along the windy road that leads from Jericho, hoping to reach Jerusalem by the end of day. Well, the sun beat down, he was getting tired, and the journey seemed so long. He hoped he'd find a place to stop along the way. Then the night drew in and the temperature fell and the way got very dark. Still he traveled on, thoughts of home were on his mind. But unknown to him, a gang of thieves were lying there in wait. They beat him up, stole all he had, and left him there to die. At the crack of dawn, two holy priests were walking on that road. To the synagogue they went to worship on that day. They came across the man who was beaten up, but to help him would waste their time. They'd be late for church, and so they passed on by. Then a Samaritan arrived, an untouchable, a type who no one loved. He saw the man in the gutter and knelt down by his side. He tended his wounds, gave him some food, and brought him to an inn. Paid for his board, promised to return, and went on his way. Now God looks down from heaven above to see if love is just a word we use or something that we live. We must walk the walk, not just talk the talk, if we want to follow Christ. Loving God, others, and learning to forgive.
We also, on the Holy Half Hour, did a few travel programmes. So, Lewis, thinking back on the travel programmes, what comes to your mind as highlights?
think it would have been the programme you did on Madrid, Alec. Partly because Spain's one of my favourite countries, and your experience that you put over in the programme, but what happened to you in Madrid, I thought was absolutely excellent. And the bit that always sort of, not as much frightened me, but it stood out, and it was in a negative way, was how your hand had been pickpocketed, which was not a pleasant thing to happen to anybody, because as it just so happened, it had happened to myself in real life about a month earlier.
My wife and I went to visit the royal palace of King Juan Carlos. It was our third attempt to visit it, in fact. The first attempt failed because King Carlos was coming home from somewhere. The second attempt failed because there was a huge queue of mad dogs and Englishmen out in the midday sun. So we went home for a siesta and then we returned later. So about 3:45 p.m. we set off once again for the royal palace. We went by underground. It was very busy. As we stepped on board the train, there was a bit of pushing and jostling. Suddenly, I felt a hand in my trouser pocket, touching my wallet. I realised in the nick of time what was happening. I was being pickpocketed. I put my hand into my pocket and won the tug of war for the prized wallet. Well, after all, I am an Aberdonian. I shoved him across the carriage and I shouted, "Police! Thief!" As I scrunched up his T-shirt, up his back, and pushed him away, I realised that he was bigger than me. We also think he had an accomplice, but his accomplice turned away. So what could I do or say? We were facing each other, but we were stuck with each other until the train was going to stop at the next station. I said, "España," and pointed at him. "Shame on you, Spaniard, bringing shame on Spain." I was hoping to evoke some shame on him, and I was hoping to arouse some support from the other passengers. It worked only to the extent that a lady in her late 60s spoke to us in Spanish at the next station, to the effect that he was a gypsy, a Romanov, not a real Spaniard. "Don't tar all us Spaniards with the same brush. Spanish people are nice, really," she was trying to say. One or two passengers signed to me that he was a needle-injecting drug addict, but I don't think he was. When we got to the palace, there was a busker playing the guitar in a Spanish style. He was sheer magic. It was a very special moment. It was perfect sunny weather, over 25 degrees centigrade. There was a clear blue sky providing the backdrop to the huge white royal palace. We were on holiday. We were in Spain. The Spanish flag wafted lazily in the soothing breeze. And here was an expert playing Spanish guitar music. We had to buy a CD, which we play to you now. It was a magic holiday moment. Why can't pickpockets learn to play the guitar instead? So that was a case of Spanish pickpockets nil, Aberdonians hold on to their wallets too. We also did quite a few interviews in the Holy Half Hour. Do you remember some of the interviews?
Oh, I do remember quite a few of them. One that I really enjoyed was with Kenneth Gibson, MSP. Kenneth's actually quite a supporter of community radio, and he's been very supportive of 3TFM. So it was absolutely delightful to see him coming through that door as your guest that day and talking about his life and his upbringing. And I found it very interesting because he's had a normal sort of life, and yeah, now he's doing what he's doing as well.
I also remember doing The School Leaver. That was the girl next door, actually. Nobody's safe nowadays. They might be picked on to do interviews by me.
Yeah.
Our missionary partner came back from Malawi, so I interviewed her. That was Helen Scott.
She was excellent. Yeah. I remember Helen as well. I also enjoyed your interview with Wallace Roy, the church organist, who lives fairly near to here. That was an interest in the various churches he's been in, the instruments that he's actually played as an organist. And he was very interesting as well.
And you remember the three youths of today? You hear the phrase youths of today is a negative thing, but there were three very nice youths, Ailey, Megan and Daniel.
They came in, they were lovely, absolutely superb kids. Interesting as well. And there was the church members, when you had sort of new church members appointed as well, they were excellent. It's amazing the amount of stuff that you've done over the years.
The Smith family, when the father and the daughter were both baptised at the same service.
Same day, which must be quite rare, is it not? Is that
yes.
Wouldn't be a very common occurrence, that.
And so on. But anyway, let's pick one of our interviews. So who gets the spotlight?
I think it would be the very Reverend Canon Matt McManus from St. Peter and Chains in Ardrossan. Found that interview very interesting. I loved his laid-back approach and his knowledge. It came over very well.
Plus, it's not every day you get a Church of Scotland minister interviewing a Roman Catholic priest.
No, it's not, but it worked well.
So here we go with very Reverend Canon Matt McManus. I'd just like to ask you, in the time we have remaining, a few quick sort of questions about the Roman Catholic tradition. Why do you have incense?
Why do we have incense? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a throwback from Old Testament times. Our prayers should rise like incense before God. I've kept the tradition going, and in the early church they used incense an awful lot, simply because people didn't wash too often and you had to keep the place smelling nice and all of those things. Seriously. But it's part of our giving praise and worship to God. And we don't use incense nearly as much as you think we might. Mm-hmm. You'd be hard to find it.
Your Roman Catholic Church is famous for its crucifixes.
Yes.
The Protestants say Jesus is risen, he's not on the cross anymore.
Yes.
So why
yes.
do you have so many crucifixes?
We have crucifixes simply to remind us that Jesus died for us. Now, I think we would always have to add as a rider to that, Jesus has died and is risen. And in all our liturgical worship, we say, Jesus has died for us, Jesus is risen, and Jesus will come again. And in a sense, the crucifix becomes shorthand because it's not nearly so easy to depict resurrection and second coming, but simply to look at Jesus on the cross and to know that he died and rose again is our theology.
And could I ask about saints? You know, every Sunday your prayers, you pray to the saints or through the saints?
No, we give honour to the saints, and in a sense, yes, we pray through the saints. We don't pray to saints. Saints are members of our community who have lived their lives well and are presented to the rest of the community as examples of goodness. People like Francis and Teresa and people like that who are simply good examples to the rest of the community for us to imitate. And all prayers that refer to saints always refer to them as the people who have passed safely through this world and whose lives should be an example to us.
And if I can lump a few things together, from the outside looking in, excuse the word, if I call it twiddly bits, there seems to be a lot of extra little things, like you cross yourselves, kneel, you have stained glass,
robes. We use holy water.
Uh-huh.
People coming into church would dip their hand in holy water, which is simply blessed. It says, Father, thank you for the gift of water, which brings life and freshness to the earth. May it always remind us of our baptism. So each time people come into church, they take water on their hands and bless themselves, make a cross on themselves to remind them of baptism.
Could I ask about celibacy in priests? The Roman Catholic tradition is famous for that compared to other churches.
Yes.
Why is celibacy so important?
I'm not sure why it's so important, just as a straightforward thing. It is our tradition. And it's a tradition that one accepts. When I sought ordination to the priesthood, I knew that one of the conditions for that was celibacy. I prayed in those days that I would be able to live up to that. I've always been a firm believer that if you wouldn't make a good husband and you wouldn't make a good father, then you'd never make a good priest. And when I was involved in the training of students for the priesthood, my attitude of mind was very much that. If this guy's not going to make a good husband, if this guy's not going to make a good father, then he's not going to make a good priest. Mm-hmm. So it's not a cop-out. It is sacrifice. It is a profession that the things of God are so important that all other considerations, good as they are, should be left aside.
And changing to a completely different subject, we hear a lot about the Roman Catholic Church being very anti-abortion. Is that fair to say? The Roman Catholic Church en masse is anti-abortion.
Well, we have a firm belief that a conceived child is a conceived child and must be protected. And the argument being women saying, it's my body and so on. You can never argue against that. Of course it's their body. But they didn't create that child. And that child has a body of his or her own. So what right has someone to... And this whole concept of the protection of the innocent. Who is going to protect this unborn child?
And is there a sort of party line from the Pope down? You have to all toe this line and... Or is there some discretion?
Come on, Alec. Do I look like a line tower? I'm there because I want to be there and I'm saying what I want to say.
No, but one of the differences being I'm hesitant as I say it, being a priest is the hierarchical system, whereas other churches don't have.
Although that's true.
Life's not as simple as that.
No, we do. No, absolutely not as simple as that. And we do have a hierarchical structure because we genuinely believe that Jesus chose his disciples and Peter as the leader of those disciples, and that tradition has simply carried on. And we are not a democracy. You know, if all my parishioners tomorrow voted for something, I would just have to wave at them and thank them and move on. You know, we are not.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thank you very much for coming into studio tonight. I'm sorry our holy half hour's run its course. In fact, we're slightly over, I think. But it's been lovely chatting with you, and thanks for sharing your views and giving us a better insight into the Roman Catholic outlook and tradition. So what's your big finish, your last piece?
It's not a big finish in the sense, but I had said to you that the Eucharist is the centre of our lives. So I've chosen this Panis Angelicus, bread of angels shared with men.
Thank you.
So, Lewis, thank you for co-presenting the programme tonight and walking down memory lane with me.
It's been an absolute delight, Alec.
And thanks again for making it all possible. So, now for our big finale. This is a... Well, I was thinking about going to the heart of the Christian faith, and this is me talking about Easter, finishing with my favourite singer then, Don Francisco, singing He's Alive. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried. But that was not the end, just the beginning. Nobody is really interested in a first century carpenter from Nazareth who suffered and died unfairly. But everybody is interested in whoever comes back from the dead to tell us about it. Jesus was dead on the Friday and seen alive again on the Sunday. The Bible says he appeared to over 500 people. That's why we call the day he died Good Friday and the Sunday Easter Day. He conquered death, our last enemy. He rose as the first of all of us human beings who die. We rise with him. Now it gets interesting. It's because of the resurrection that people took an interest in Jesus' life and his teaching and miracles and who he really is, God. People have discovered that Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the one and only God. His whole 33-year life on earth had been about God making contact with his creatures, revealing himself, showing his love and forgiveness, seeking to put us right with himself, and bringing us eternal life and happiness with himself. But more of that next week. Bye for now. I'll leave you with Don Francisco singing He's Alive.
Fastened down, I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound, half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle, voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they've moved him in the night, none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary'd said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. 'Cause when at last it came to choices, I'd denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open.